Clues also, the name Beatles has a crack running through it on the S, making the name imperfect. The eight dots before the word Beatles, when connected, form the number 3 rather than 4. When visiting the wall in 1970, there were in fact 13 dots on the wall. But the picture purposely included only these 8 dots. Passing through this otherwise clear photograph is a girl in a blue dress. What's the reason for this? Hold the album some distance away and observe her elbow. What will appear is the image of Paul McCartney's profile. Songs on the Abbey Road LP also held some revelations. The first song, Come Together, is particularly telling. Description of a person having hair down to his knees. After dying, a person continues to have nail and hair growth, since hair and nails contain protein which continues to grow. The song continues, he wear no shoe shine. A barefoot person like Paul on the Abbey Road cover. He play toe jam football, rugby, which Paul played quite well. He got monkey finger, skinny and bony like a skeleton's. Also, I know you, you know me. Come together.
Come together. Right now. Over me.
According to the theorists, Paul singing from his grave.
Right.
You'll also recall the line one and one and one is three. This refers to the fact that there are now only 3 Beatles. The song Sun King draws its title from historical literature. The Sun King was a name given to Louis XIV of France. This powerful monarch was a subject of Alexandre Dumas' Man in the Iron Mask, a piece of historical fiction about a twin brother of Louis who was sentenced to wear an iron mask to prevent his public identification. However, the twin ended up replacing the real Louis without anyone but his closest associates knowing about the switch. The whole scenario resembles the theory of Paul being replaced and the change being covered up. The finale of the album includes 3 songs which run into one another. Besides being some of the most brilliant and tight playing in the careers, the Beatles suggest several things from the titles.
Oh, yeah! All right! Are you gonna be my dream?
Golden Slumbers, a long sleep. Carry That Weight, a corpse-filled coffin. And The End, no explanation needed. After finding the clues on this album, it was time to look back to previous albums to see what had been missed before anyone caught on that the clues were there waiting to be discovered. Most agreed that the death of Paul occurred in November 1966. Thus, the Sgt. Pepper LP would be the first album to contain clues. The front cover was a gem of a find. One sees the 4 Beatles all holding instruments which are inappropriate to them. But of the 4, only Paul is holding a wooden for coffin instrument. It's also black for death. Also, 3 Beatles are facing the camera at an angle, but Paul appears straight on as if he were being propped up by Ringo and George. The whole cover is a grave scene with the word Beatles being spelled out in flowers. Red hyacinths, the mythological flower of death. The Yellow Flowers have been interpreted as being a left-handed bass guitar complete with strings, or if one looks sideways, the Yellow Flower resembles a P for Paul. The personalities on the album are interesting. John Lennon on Tony Palmer's All You Need Is Love TV series commented that the people in the Sgt. Pepper cover, two are flying, two are not. Apparently an inside joke. Whatever the inside joke is, let's look at the personalities. First, Paul is the only one with a hand over his head, a symbol of death representing the hand of a religious leader who blesses the body before it's interred. The owner of this hand, who is staring at Paul, is the writer Stephen Crane, most famous for his war story, The Red Badge of Courage. Mr. Crane himself died when he was 28 years old. Another of Mr. Crane's short stories is called The Open Boat and concerns four men who struggle to survive in a lifeboat. The one most determined to keep the group together dies in the ordeal. The other three, then, act as interpreters of the event. Other famous but dead people looking at Paul include Edgar Allan Poe, himself dying a tragic death. Marilyn Monroe, a suicide victim. James Dean, who died in a cycle crash. Jane Mansfield, decapitated in a car crash. And the other dead Beatle, Stu Sutcliffe. There seems to be quite a collection of dead heroes. Along the grave itself are some noteworthy symbols. On the left is a doll with a split in his head. Paul allegedly died from head injuries. On the right is a blacked-out television set representing the news blackout of the actual accident. And a red-haired doll representing Paul's old fiancée, Jane Asher. By the way, Jane suddenly dropped out of the Beatle limelight, not wanting to continue to be part of the cover-up with Paul's replacement. Over the L in Beatles is Paul's old rugby trophy. Remember, Toe Jam Football. To the far right is a doll seated in the lap of a deathly figure who is wearing a blood-stained driving gloves. In the doll's hand is a white car, possibly representing Paul's white Aston Martin, which he was driving on that fateful night. The inside of the car is blood red. On the doll's sweatshirt is written, "Welcome the Rolling Stones." The Rolling Stones were involved in the cover-up, according to the theorists, and this was the Beatles' way of thanking them for keeping it a secret. The cover of Sgt. Pepper conveniently opens up. The inside photo again shows Paul being propped up by two other Beatles. Paul in the fetal position, which is how Indians bury their dead. A closer look at Paul's uniform shows his white bars and epaulets trimmed in black for death. But the real clincher, theorists felt, was on his left arm. Paul is wearing a patch which reads OPD, which in England stands for Officially Pronounced Dead. In America, the equivalent of DOA, Dead on Arrival. The Beatles tried as hard as they could to discredit this clue. Paul said that the patch stands for Ontario Police Department and that he must have picked the patch up in Canada. Sounds good until one realizes that there is no such agency as the Ontario Police Department. There is the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, or possibly a Toronto Police Department. But no, as Paul put it, Ontario Police Department. The back cover of Sgt. Pepper also holds some clues. Of the four Beatles, only Paul has his back towards the camera in the same pose as his body is on the front cover. Notice also that the braids on the other three Beatles are now on their left sides, whereas on the front the braids are on their right. These braids had consciously been changed, as wearing them on the left side is part of the military funeral dress code in England. Paul also has three black buttons on his coat representing the mourning of the other three Beatles. Finally, notice George's hand is pointing to a line of lyrics. Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock. This is the time that theorists say Paul was OPD, officially pronounced dead, after his tragic accident during the night. Other lyrics in the Sgt. Pepper album point out some very strong specifics. The very first song, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, has some very strong things to say. It was rumored in 1969 that Billy Shears was the name of a band leader in England. When he died in 1947, he said he would be resurrected in 20 years. The LP was released in 1967.
What would you think if I sang out a tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends.
A little help from my friends. The theorists contended that Billy Campbell, who was filling in, was the Billy Shears they spoke of. What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? He's not yet able to get the voice just right, so he's trying to stay in tune. Skipping to the last song, A Day in the Life, we hear of Paul's car accidents. Theorists contend is about Paul's accident. Although the crowd thought it was somebody famous involved, they weren't sure. The news was covered up, so anyone who may have been a witness never knew for sure who it was. This song corroborates the belief that there was a car accident and that Paul died of head injuries. As the story went during the early morning sessions for Sergeant Pepper, Paul stormed out of the studios mad at the others, and after taking a few drinks, proceeded to drive off into the night. Some believe he picked up a hitchhiker named Rita, who, after recognizing her famous driver, jumped all over him, causing the accident. In another song on the LP, Lovely Rita, are the lines, I took her home, I nearly made it. Other lyrics of interest on the album include From Fixing a Hole, I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in and stops my mind from wandering. Possibly a reference to an injury of the head. Within You, Without You says life flows on within you and without you. The Beatles went on without Paul. And even the innocent Good Morning tells us now you're in gear, a car, and nothing to do to save his life. A final mystery on this album appears on the English pressings on the Parlophone label. At the very end of side two, right up along the label, is another groove. If you have a manual turntable, which doesn't automatically shut off at this point, one can make out some voices reciting a short group of words. While the exact meaning varies according to different people, some have interpreted this groove to be saying such things as Lucy Abbey all the way, or He's found heaven, just see what you want to see, or Inshallah never. We'll play it twice more. What do you think it says? Radio station WKBW in Buffalo, New York, played this groove backwards and suggested it says, we'll all be back here soon. Let's try it three times. Let's see what you think it says. It does not appear on American pressings, but that it exists at all is an indication of the lengths the Beatles would go to try and hide messages in their albums. It also supposedly is on other European pressings of the album, and again, what people hear varies with the condition of the record, amplifier, and speaker system, and probably what you had for breakfast. As a sidebar, Paul himself has claimed in a Rolling Stone interview that he did not know that the groove existed until just several years ago. He played it himself and says he hears an obscene phrase. He also claims he has no idea how it got on the record. The album which was released after Sgt. Pepper was the album in England of the EP of music from the film Magical Mystery Tour. The front cover was quite an eye-opener for clues. The most obvious thing is that all four Beatles are dressed in animal costumes. Foremost is the black walrus, which is Paul. The black is symbolic, again, of death, and the walrus was a bad omen to Viking hunters, for if they saw a dead walrus at the start of their journeys, they would turn back because of its negative symbolism. The yellow stars spelling out Beatles should also be examined. If the cover is held to a mirror and the largest stars are connected and read from the mirror, one can see seven digits, a phone number. According to how you hold the cover, whether upside down or not, these three phone numbers are agreed on as appearing. 834-1735, 483-5317, and 237-7038. It was common in the fall of 1969 to call these numbers in London. And it was rumored that, one, you would get a funeral parlor, or two, you would get an angry old lady whom you'd awaken from her sleep at 3 a.m., or three, the strangest story of all, as reported in a Washington, D.C. underground paper and simultaneously in a rumor sheet circulating through the music business in New York, was that you'd get someone answering the phone who would claim to be Billy Shears. After quizzing the caller on Beatle trivia, he would promise to send you tickets to Pepperland. It was reported that three Michigan students received such tickets in the mail with the inscription ADN on the envelope. Apparently, the stamps on the envelope, which the receiver was instructed to lick, were laced with LSD, because one of the Michigan students did lick them and jumped from the window as to his death. The second student claimed to have already been to Pepperland in the Caribbean Sea and was returning there on the upcoming November 27th. The third student, when queried, just laughed. By the way, if you call these numbers today, they're all out of service. The Magical Mystery Tour album contains a 24-page booklet, which contains some startling clues. We'll have those in just a moment when we continue with our program. Is Paul dead? Turn me on, dead man. I'm Dave Fox, and today we're going through some of the clues that pointed to the death of Paul McCartney. Today's program, by the way, has been written by Joel Glazier, a Beatle expert recognized around the world. On page 5 of the Magical Mystery Tour booklet is an interesting photo. We see the four Beatles dressed in their costumes with the black walrus at the piano. Behind the Beatles are men dressed as surgeons. These men symbolize the surgeons who tried to save Paul's life after the accident. On the concrete structure in back of them are policemen, representing the ones who appeared at the scene of the crash and who were paid off to hush up the whole affair. What is the concrete structure? It suggests an unmarked tomb. The top half of the photo on page 6 has a sign which says the best way to go is by M&D Company. M&D Company is a funeral company in London. Above that sign is a depart sign with a time, 834, the same three numbers which some see in the cover's phone number. But we can't see the arrive back time. Paul departed on that fateful night, but never arrived back. On page 9, there's a series of drawings which summarize the plot of the film. The middle drawing in the top row is of the Fool on the Hill. There's a drawing of Paul, and the L from Hill continues and splits Paul's head. The left bottom drawing shows all four Beatles, and again, John has his wizard cap, Paul has his black petals, and red nose. Black petals? The last drawing has a walrus devouring the bus while John appears smiling from a cracked egg. Underneath the bottom drawings in section 2 are the words, the bus is 10 miles north of the Dewsbury Road and they're having a lovely time. While this location is also mentioned in the film, its significance is not great unless this location, which is mentioned several times in the movie, is the scene of Paul's accident. There are those who suggest that it is not Paul sitting in the black walrus suit, but in section 12 are the words, "I am the walrus," says John. "No, you're not," cries Nicola. Here, then, is a firm denial of John as the walrus. On pages 12 and 13, there's a photo of the Beatles again with Paul being barefoot. This time, however, we're treated to the sight of his shoes. Look closely. His shoes are stained with blood. Some argue that the red is just a runoff printing error from the drum, but we can easily see that the shades of red are much different, and if it were simply a printing error, it would have been corrected on later copies. The stains are still on current pressings. The drum has a message for us, too. Written on the drum is the message, "Love the three Beatles." And we all know there are four Beatles, unless, of course. Everyone's favorite scene appears on page 23, with the Beatles decked out in white tuxedos. Notice that Paul has on a black carnation, while the others are wearing red. The Beatles said, "We ran out of red ones and happened to find a black one backstage." Do you know how rare black carnations are? Not likely that one would be found lying around. Black or dead flowers are, in fact, being handed to Paul by the girl on the left of the picture. The final photo in the book on page 24 shows everyone happily waving at the camera. Look at the top row. You'll see that Paul is the only Beatle with a hand over his head. As with Sgt. Pepper, Magical Mystery Tour also contains the lyrics to the songs, which makes the task of finding clues so much easier. The title song hints at several aspects of Paul's death. The lines, "The Magical Mystery Tour, dying to take you away," is thought by some to suggest the ambulance that took Paul's body away from the scene of the accident and inevitably to his final resting place. In Strawberry Fields Forever, listen closely to the end of the fade-out. You can make out the sound of John saying, "I buried Paul." Let's listen again. To make it a little easier, let's speed it up to 45 RPM and see if you can make it out a little more clearly. The song, "I Am the Walrus," is one song that is full of clues. This Lennon song is, in fact, a tribute to clues and hidden meanings. And he borrows images and phrases from at least two classic pieces of literature, Lewis Carroll's Through the Looking Glass and James Joyce's Finnegan's Wake. A line from Finnegan's Wake. It's said by the character Humpty Dumpty, an Eggman. Humpty Dumpty in Looking Glass is the explainer of things. In this song, John is acting as the explainer. And of course, using the character Humpty Dumpty is interesting because, as every child knows, Humpty Dumpty fell and cracked his head open. As the chorus of Egg Children fades out, the sound continues until you hear a man's voice in the background. Listen carefully. You'll hear a scene from Shakespeare's King Lear.
Oh, villain.
You killed the fighter of my history. Stand up and retire.
Is he dead?
Sit you down, father. Bless you.
Why is a death scene from a Shakespearean play being read into a Beatles song, already packed with clues? Coming up, we'll look at the White Album, another album jam-packed with clues to Paul's death. Is Paul dead? Turn me on, dead man.
So far this week, see Daddy 3.
A key song in the entire Paul is Dead mystery comes from the White Album. It's called Glass Onion. The title is slang for a crystal ball through which many mysteries can be solved. This song refers to other clue-laden songs in its lyrics.
I told you about strawberry peel. You know the place where nothing is real.
Recall Strawberry Fields continued, I Buried Paul in the Fade Outs.
I told you about the war is a mean man. You know that we're as close as can be, man. Well, here's another clue for you all.
The walrus was Paul, a key phrase because for those who are still not convinced that the walrus in black was Paul, here are the Beatles being as explicit as can be. Can we doubt the Beatles themselves when they're purposely giving us a clue? This song then mentions Lady Madonna, which could suggest that it's on that song that the replacement first used his real voice. Even today, fans and critics call this the other voice of Paul, his Elvis voice, for lack of a better term. The song ends with another reference to another song from Magical Mystery Tour.
I told you about the fool on the hill. I tell you, man, he lives in there still. Well, here's another place he can be. Listen to me.
You'll recall the drawing of the Fool on the Hill and Magical Mystery Tour, in which Paul's head is split. You know, he's living there still. Is Paul dead? We'll continue in just a moment. Don't Pass Me By on the White Album is thought to be Ringo's tribute to his late friend. Sings, I listen for your footsteps coming up the drive, but they don't arrive. I wonder where you are tonight. Don't pass me by.
I listen for your footsteps coming up the drive. Listen for your footsteps, but they don't arrive. Waiting for you knock, dear, on my old front door. I don't hear it. Does it mean?
One of the first signs of dissension in the Beatles were the fierce arguments between Paul and Ringo. Perhaps it was after one of these that Paul stormed out of the studio on that tragic night. And we're hearing of Ringo's sad evening at home, hoping Paul would come over to resolve their differences. He never made it. And Ringo tells us why.
I'm sorry that I doubted you. I was so unfair. You were.
John's death pen is I'm So Tired.
I'm so tired, I haven't slept a wink.
First he describes his mental anguish over missing Paul. I haven't slept a wink, my mind is on the blink.
Mind is on the blink.
I'd give you everything I've got for a little peace of mind.
And fix myself a drink. No, no, no. So tired, I don't know what to do. I'm so tired, my mind set on you. I wonder, should I call you? But I know what you would do.
It's no joke. It's doing me harm, you know. I can't sleep. I can't stop my brain, you know. It's 3 weeks. I'm going insane, you know. I give you everything I've got for your peace of mind.
I'm so tired. I'm feeling so upset. Although I'm so tired. I'll have another cigarette and curb the Walter Rally. He was such a stupid guess.
You say, couldn't you want, but it's no joke. It's doing me harm, you know I can't sleep. I can't stop the brain, you know, 3 weeks. I'm going insane, you know, I give you everything I've got for little peace of mind.
The real find comes right at the end of the song. A mumbling voice can be heard at the end of this cut and before the next one begins. When this mumbling is played backwards, the voice is very clearly saying, Paul is a dead man. Miss him. Miss him. Miss him. The voice is probably John's, though some people insist it belongs to George. Many people point to the song Blackbird. Again, notice the reference to black as a clue to the new Paul's feelings on taking over. Listen carefully to the lyrics.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life, you are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly.
The granddaddy of all the clues comes elsewhere on the White Album. We'll have Revolution Number 9 in just a moment. One of the more interesting aspects of the White Album is a short little song that appears on the record right before Revolution. It does not appear in the list of song titles, nor do its lyrics appear on the lyric sheets.
Can you take me back where I came from? Can you take me back?
take me back where I came from? Mama, can you take me back?
These allegorical lines lead into the selection which convinces many people the Paul is Dead rumor to be something thought of more than just a series of coincidences. The track is Revolution Number 9. In the beginning of the song, one can hear two men quietly talking. They're saying, "Realize, I know all about it, George, and I'm sorry. Do you forgive me?" "Yes." Listen carefully.
"I'd look out for you if I'd realize. I'd we'll do it. I know all about it, George. I'm sorry. Do you forgive me?"
"Yes."
This apparently is a conversation with the producer George Martin and could be about the placing of clues on the track. Then a voice repeats the phrase number 9 13 times. Listen again.
Number 9.
Why should this phrase be repeated so many times and then again later in the song? When one plays this phrase backwards, the voice says something entirely different. In a day in the life on Sergeant Pepper, Paul sang "I'd love to turn you on," and now, as if in answer several years later, we hear a voice saying, in a Beatles song, "Turn me on, dead man." Continuing frontwards on the